You know, that's just a little battle. I said our flesh will make sure we can get this battle won. We'll get that taken care of. But on the spiritual side of things, you can look, we fail. And that's one of the things that we're going to look at this morning is how the devil tries to make sure that we fail in this war that is invisible to us. But it's still going on. It's raging. And we're going to look at some examples today that I hope that will help us to see and to be careful in this warfare, realizing, you know, we can see things like the matter of prayer. We can see things about, like, the homosexual. And that's no problem. We've already made up our minds. This is wrong. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to stand against that. And we'll fight. We'll stand against it. But there's other things that's going on that are more deadly to the church than these. See, these are coming from the outside. These attacks are coming from the outside. But we got attacks that's going on the inside. How many of you had any problem with your flesh this past week? You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm telling you what, since I started really looking at this study, man, my flesh has been giving me a fit. I mean, you know, it just wants me to just fail at every turn. It's mad at me. You know, you want to take everything away from me. And I do. I want God to take everything away from that old fallen man, that creature that is one of my greatest enemies. And we're going to kind of do a recap. Remember, we started out the whole thing, the whole idea is, are we ready? Are we prepared for this war that's raging all about us for the souls of men? Greatest enemies this world has ever encountered, this world, the flesh, and the devil, and we have no weapons of ourselves that can fight these enemies. There's nothing in us that can fight these enemies. You can't fight them with rifles. You can't fight them. You need to be familiar with the battle. You need to be familiar with the enemy. You got to be familiar with the weapons. And we looked at a little bit of the weapons that Satan was using to bring against us. And one of them is ignorance. The fact that, you know, he wants us to be ignorant. The Bible said we are not ignorant of his devices. And that's what Paul stated. But I say that we are. I think we are. For the most part, I think that the church is somewhat ignorant of the devices of Satan, because he is sure coming through the door. He's sure getting in our churches. He's for sure, you know, pulling people down all the time. Do we not see it? Have we not seen, I mean, good men, good preachers, I mean, one after another, fall? I mean, they started out well and fail. I'm talking about men that I was pleased to know, men that I enjoyed being around. And I've seen some of them fall. Now it's sad and it hurts. And it also makes me realize, because I have failed many a time. Praise God, I'm not out there in the light like some of these men have been. Hey, if I could put my life up there and show it on the screen, most of you would say, oh, man, what a rascal, you know? But what if I put your life up here on the screen? What would we say? You know, I'm not glorifying that. I'm simply saying, you know, this warfare is real. It's a battle. It's continuous. And we got to be prepared for it. We got to be able to fight this battle. And we can't do it in ourselves. The whole idea of this, is to look at the fact of my failures till I get to the point, the same place I got the day I got saved, and fall before a holy God and say, I cannot do this. I cannot, as the preacher said, I can't redeem it. I have no strength, no ability within myself. Oh God, be merciful. And fall down before Him in true humility. But that's something you can't see. God only knows. You can't trust yourself. Can't trust your heart. Can't trust your flesh. You can't trust your mind. Lean not to your own understanding. It's got to be God. And we got to come to that understanding. It's the Lord Jesus Christ or it's hopeless. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the mind of Christ controlling us. Because we're in a warfare. We're in a battle. And we're going to be a... Only way we got a victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, I mean, it's I love that. I love a song I heard years ago. All in all is Jesus. Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is my everything. And until we come to that place, I said the other, I think it was last week, I made mention how I felt like God took away a lot of things out of my life. Things that I thought were needed and precious. I mean, I had a soul winning partner he took. My church, all of a sudden, it seemed like it changed. And God had taken the church, you know. When I come here, I was looking for a place to serve God. And some things happened here that wounded a lot of people. A lot of people got wounded. I remember it just like yesterday. I remember seeing people in the church getting divided up in different little groups. And next thing you know, Brother Melvin probably remembered it. We had 50 families gone in less than 1 year. I'm talking about people that had been involved in the work here. And what had happened? The devil was at war. He was at fighting. He was at war. And we were doing fine with the physical war, getting the buses out, knocking on doors. I mean, the things that we could visibly see. We'd been doing pretty well. But there was a warfare going in that was hurting people. People were getting wounded. And a lot of people didn't know nothing about it. And our pride would not allow us to say, "Oh, God, church, pray for me. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm wounded. I'm at the verge of getting out or running or doing something," and next thing you know, they're gone. Was it because these people were bad? No. It's because they were casualties in this war. And we got to be up and ready for this war. I'm going to look at several things this morning. Last week I started looking at some of these weapons that were brought against us. I said ignorance, deceit, and fear. Some of the principal things that the devil uses against us. And last one being pride. Pride. Greatest weapon he uses against us is lift us up in pride. You know what I'm saying? And pride takes so many forms. Sometimes, I'm just nothing. I'm just so sorry. Oh, Lord. Oh. And God said, "Yeah, you proud. You lift it up in pride." It's false humility. It's pride. And you can't trust yourself. God knows. Boy, I'm glad God knows. For it's Him. He started the work in me, and He's the one who's going to finish it. I don't have to know. Hey, I just got to listen to my captain. I just got to get in this book. And I know when I'm being obedient to this book. I know. Because you know what it is? It's a mirror. And when you get to reading that thing, it'll point things out. Huh? It'll point things out. It'll show you when you're lifted up in pride. It'll show you when you got envy in you. It'll show you when you got all these things that are not right with you. The Holy Spirit will let you know the problems you have in your life. So, now, I also was looking at the world, and the world it deals in selfishness. It tries to get, hey man, it's got everything is on television as far as advertisement. It's all watched, directed towards your selfishness and my selfishness. Oh man, if you get this, you'll just really be happy. Oh, if you can get this, if you can have this, if you can just have this wave runner, or if you can just have this boat, hey, if you can just have this, and next thing you know, hey, this world has got us. Hey, if you could just be this thin. If you know all these things, the world is reaching out to self. Selfishness. Lust. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all in this world. This world comes after our lust. It also looks at our intemperance, our lack of discipline. It comes after us where it knows that we're intemperate. You know, the sin that does so easily beset us. You know, the weights that we pick up, the thing, they're not really sinful, but we like and enjoy, but it just keeps us from being running the race the way God wants us to run. I mean, there's a lot of things like that. Preacher talks about it all the time, like hunting and fishing and nothing wrong with any of these things, sports or whatever. You know, nothing wrong with all any of these things. Like a friend of mine used to say all the time, set your affection on things above. And not on things of the earth. See, anything that comes between us and the Lord will lead us into sin. So these weights are not sin, but they can become sin. They can begin to control us. And we need to be careful and know that we're not being controlled by anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. His mind in us. Now, finally, I said in the world, but that was a look at the flesh. That's what the flesh desired. But in this world, you got the desires of the flesh and the lack of modesty. Man, there's no modesty, no shamefacedness today. I mean, anything goes, right, in this world today. Huh? My wife showed me a picture this past week. She said, do you think this lady is attractive? I said, she's attractive enough. She said, that's Bruce Jenner. I said, that's not Bruce Jenner. That's not Bruce Jenner. I said, that thing's been doctored up. That thing's been, you know, somebody, yeah. And my daughter, who does a lot of photography, she said, yeah, buddy, that thing's been photoshopped. That thing's been, I said, that is not, no, I said, that's not him. But this world wants us to think, wants to feed us slop. And this world has no modesty today. Out of control. No shame about nothing. And now I'm going to tell you something. It'll want to get us to that point, too, where nothing can offend us. We've seen it all before. And we're going to look at some things, hopefully, that can change our mind on somebody else. In 2 Thessalonians, I ain't even got there yet. 2 Thessalonians, look, chapter 2, Chapter 2, look down here in verse 7. I'm actually going to begin reading verse 6. Now we know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, this mystery of iniquity is at work. Now, right there it said, now, he who now letteth. Now, people got different ideas about what that means. There's those, I'm probably out on the left field on this, but when I look at that, here's what I see. He who now letteth. That word let means to allow. Allow. Now, a lot of people take that, and when they take it, and they make it say restrain. And what they're saying is the Holy Spirit right now is restraining, you know, Satan and his power right now so people can hear the truth and get it. And there's probably some truth to that. But I say it means more. I think it means it's allowing us. It's right now, he who now letteth or allows us to go out with the gospel and get the gospel to people. He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, until we're taken out. Christ. the day of Christ, when the church is called out, when He is called out. He who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is moving in the mind of Christ. We're taking the gospel to people through the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not? And hey, and God has given us an appointed time, a time to get this job done. But He said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, look, that mystery of iniquity, we have that tendency, we think about iniquity and wickedness. It's out there in the world, you know what I'm saying? We're looking at it as it's working out there in the world. I say it's talking about as it works in the church. The world is dead. This world is a bunch of dead fish flowing downstream into destruction. That's what we're looking at when you look at the world. The devil doesn't have to use iniquity to pour the world down. We are totally depraved without Christ. But what Satan is warring against is those of us who have gotten in, who have been made equipped for the battle, who are out here trying to reach people, pulling down strongholds, out here with the gospel, out here with the Word of God, working to get people to come to Christ, offer them life, show them that life is in the Son. The Son has already been given to them, has He not? But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power, become the sons of God. To as many as receive Him, the gift is given. Man, it's right there. It's right there in front of them. All they have to do is want it. And the moment they want it, they got it. But the devil wants a church that is lazy. It wants a church who's at ease. It wants a church that you know, hey, everything is all, you know, hey, this world, they're not going to listen. They're not going to pay no attention. They're not going to hear. They're not going to repent. They're not going to say. You get that attitude. You get that thought. Anybody's ever had that thought? Don't lie to me. I've had it. But then I remember, I wasn't concerned about my soul. I wasn't looking for the Lord. I didn't care about the things of God. I cared about the world. I mean, all that's in the world, the lust of the eye, lust of flesh, pride of life. That's the only thing I cared about before I got saved. Satisfying myself. And I'd tell you, oh man, I love my wife. I love my children. God said, you got that thing all upside down. That's not your wife. They're not your children. You're her husband. You're their dad. You're their father. Huh? And they're to look at you in the same way. See, before I got saved, they were mine, you know. They were for my pleasure. And the world has got us to the point where we are not looking at things the way we ought to see them. I'm afraid so much of us are like the man with the Lord took and anointed his eyes, and he washed his eyes and said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. Just so much landscape. When's the last time, like the preacher said, when have we seen men as souls perishing? Huh? When's the last time we've seen the fact without the grace of God, that was me perishing. That was my wife perishing. Those were my children perishing. Those were my mother and my father perishing. My deepest loved ones, the ones I care most for, they were mine that were perishing. You know? When's the last time we've had that kind of it? Well, you know why? The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, let's look at some things. Let's take your Bible. We're going to take a little bit of a detour here and show you how these weapons that Satan is using against us are holding us back, keeping us from being able to go forth to war. Let's take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Let's first look at, go to chapter 17. 17. I want to show you something about this mystery in Revelation chapter 17. And begin reading in verse 1. It said, "Now there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was, and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which I saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Praise God. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. Now, with that in mind, look over here in Revelation. Let's look over here. In chapter 2. And she maketh war against the Lamb. And the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already at war. It's already warring against Christ. Already warring against Christ. And look here in chapters 2 of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who hath walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. See, I said a moment ago, we do pretty good with the physical things, the things that we can see, the things that we know that are going on, things that we hear. When somebody gets up and teaches false doctrine, we can pick up on that pretty good. You know what I'm saying? But there's a warfare going on. It's underneath all that. Satan throws up something, buddy, and you got your eyes on that, and he comes in as that serpent. Subtle. He comes as a lion through that grass. Boy, that old gazelle's down there on that water, taking in that water, looking around. But that lion is creeping up ever so carefully, looking for that opportunity. Now, this church, notice it. It was busy. It was working. You know what I'm saying? And notice what else it says. He said, I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Boy, I mean, working, busy, knocking doors, running buses, been at the work. But notice what he says. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The devil has come in, got a poison in their heart. He's got a poison in there, and they don't love what they one time loved. They love the work. They love the work. Man, he's saying, you left your first love. You remember when you first got saved? I mean, you wanted to know Him. I mean, you wanted to know Jesus. You wanted to be close. You wanted to please Him. I've heard a lot of people have different thoughts about it. I've heard talk about, boy, man, they were so happy and a burden fell off them. I can't say that. I felt like when I first got saved, man, my heart felt like it was under a weight, because I seen the world perishing. But there's one thing I did have that I know every believer has when they first get saved. They want to know Him. They want to please Him. They want to get close to Him. And buddy, and you get in that Bible. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And you want to know Him. You want to get close to Him. But these now, they've left their first love. And remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, for else I will come unto thee quickly. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. They didn't repent, and God removed that candlestick. Ephesus, that church, is no longer there. How many churches have we seen fail over there? I mean, I've heard about some of the great churches of 100 years ago, and now they're dead. They're museums. Why? Because the mystery of iniquity doth work. It come and it undermined. It did a work in there. And Satan got their minds off what's the most important thing for the things that we can see, the things that we think are important, the things that, you know, like I said, we're good at fighting the war that's visible, but we're not that good at fighting that war that's coming at us ever so subtly, working into our heart, clouding our understanding of what God is trying to do. Now look at this. Not only them, and right after that, he said, he had near, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church, and him overcome, I've given him to eat of the tree of life. Then midst of the garden, and said, angel in the church of Smyrna, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, I'll give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this church right here, God said nothing bad about. But notice something about this church that's different from the other churches. They're suffering physical persecution. They're killing them. They're being arrested. They're under physical persecution, and they're doing well. God's got nothing bad to say about them. There are churches in this world you can go overseas, you don't hear a whole lot about, and they're under physical persecution. They're doing a lot better. But you take a church, everything, the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Oh, man, my time's getting away from me. I got so much I'd like to say about them. Look, God's got nothing bad to say about them, but notice this. He came out and said, Satan is attacking them. Now, look in the very next church, Pergamos, I know thy works where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And also, them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. The very first church, they had the doctrine of Nicolaitans. They hated it too. But now you see a church that's got those doctrines and brought them into the church. See, the church here has some different problems. First, their lack of love. Now they're actually bringing in bad doctrine, false doctrine. And I'm going to give you a practical thought about that. Anybody remember when Paul fell out with Peter? He said, Peter, what you doing? What you doing? You supporting these Jews who are bringing in doctrine that God has not given to His church, and you're supporting these Judaizers, and you're sitting there and you got ham on your breath. You're living like a Gentile, but you're telling these Gentiles they need to live like Jews. And you're bringing this legalism into the church. What's the matter with you, Paul? You know better than that. You know better than that, Peter. And not only him, you know, there were so many others, the Bible said, dissimulated with him. They went along with false doctrine. See, that's a danger. That happens in our churches. Now, if you go on, you'll look and see this great harlot, this whore, she is sliding into the church. You get down to the next church, he said, you've allowed Jezebel to come in and teach in your classes. Jezebel. You know, we all know who Jezebel is. Nobody names their daughter Jezebel, right? Huh? Some of us might as well name them Jezebel. I'm simply saying God has given us a warning here. This mystery of iniquity is working, is pulling down our churches, is pulling us down. This mystery of iniquity, hey, it ain't targeting Washington, D.C. It's targeting Gospel Light Baptist Church. Satan's got his bow pulled on us. Them errors. And buddy, if we're not got our weapons ready for him, and that's what we're going to try to look at next week. I mean, putting on that whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the onslaught of the devil. He's going to take us down. This world is slipping off and into eternity. And for the most part, the church is asleep. Devil's rocking us asleep. Rocking us to sleep and destroying everybody he can along the way. I'm running out of time. I was going to look at David. You remember David? I said, you know, in the physical battles, we do pretty good. The things that we can see, you know, they're very visible outward to us. Oh, David did good, man. He took out that giant. Or led the people into battles, I mean, put down the enemies of God, all about them. And then what happened? Got all them enemies knocked down, things kind of got, you know, a little easier now. And next thing you know, it's time when kings go forth to war, but David said, man, these are some little old battles, and they can take care of it. They don't need me out there. And David didn't realize that the battle was raging right there. Right where he was at. That's where the main battle was right then. He thought it was out there in the world. He didn't realize that the mystery of iniquity was working and trying to get him, trying to get Israel, trying to destroy Israel. Hey, outside enemies never overcome Israel, did it? What caused Israel to fall? When they turned their backs on God and went after their flesh, went after the things that they desired, and they left their God. And old David, he was at ease in Zion. The Bible said, woe in him. There he was. He was laying back there. Oh, taking it easy. He didn't get up till afternoon, you know. Oh, I had a good day sleeping. Boy, I'm king. Everything's wonderful. It's so great to be king. And get out there and walk around. Sees this beautiful woman. Wanted, desired her. And then he was taken. But he wasn't able. He wasn't prepared for the battle that Satan had prepared for him. We'll look at more of this next week. I've done run out of time.